Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. Today, I am your host, as per usual, Phil. And we're going from point to point here, and hey, I'm going to try to get to a point. That's the show. Today's point, I've got some small points. We'll see how many we can get through. The first one is, man, AI in video games, huh? There's been a couple of, I guess, like, good and also kind of bad stories that have popped up recently again, as kind of more AI stuff is going on in the games industry, and as the vaporware of AI in the broader tech context is constantly changing. The one that kind of came to mind yesterday, someone brought up, was Hotshots Golf is I guess on their Steam page or somewhere they list that they use AI generated assets, but in like kind of the weirdest way. I don't know. The usage of AI in video games is getting kind of weird, because it all feels like test cases to me. So in Hotshots Golf, they're using, I guess, AI image generation for leaf textures on trees. My first thought when that came up was, oh no, has AI finally got into Speed Tree? And maybe we'll dig into that in a little bit. But kind of going back to the idea of AI being used as test cases in here, another story came out. I heard this yesterday on Jeff Grubb's Game This Morning, about the Jurassic Park Kingdom? Ooh, is that a movie or is that a game? Who knows? The Jurassic Park Roller Coaster Tycoon game. When they announced it, there was kind of like a sneaky insert of using AI-generated images for the scientist portraits in that game, which I guess is a way to save a bunch of money, but it also feels like incredibly... I guess you could just generate thousands of scientist portraits in a matter of seconds, or you could have to pay artists who will make them well and not have seven fingers, and you know, they would look nice. I can understand it, and kind of to the point of it being a test case, the like disclosure of AI in games has been really fascinating, because I imagine, like, there are definitely people who can see AI images, right? Like, there are clear hallmarks of what AI looks like, and we can kind of, like, I feel like most people will notice that it looks weird, and a smaller subset of most people will notice that it is AI generated. And I think that's, like, where we are with AI right now. As the technology continues to progress, as you know, billions and billions of dollars are dumped into it, maybe you get more realistic JPEGs. But the test case bit, I think, is more that we see developers, or more likely the management of developers who want to save money, pushing this stuff into games as a test case to see what they can get away with. And you know, I think this relates a lot to loot boxes and gacha mechanics and other money-making parts of game development, where, you know, Battlefront 2 currently rising up the Steam charts again for the first time in 10 years or something. But if you remember, that game came out with some absolutely rotten monetization in it. And it was kind of this slowly turning up the temperature of what microtransactions can be, and how monetization in online games, or just in games in general, are working. I kind of have this dumb nod in the Fallout video about horse armor and, like, you know, how far we have come since horse armor was released for $4.99 or whatever. But you can kind of, like, that's a graph you can plot, right? Like, you can see, you know, first, like, major piece of console DLC for a major published game is cosmetic horse armor, kind of taking what was already pretty popular in WoW and then kind of bringing it to the console player. And then, you know, it's not hard to trace a line from that to, you know, we go all the way up to Disco Palpatine in Fortnite, like, 3 months ago. So, like, there is a way that we can look at, you know, the erosion of monetization in video games as, like, test case. Like, everyone is, like, one test case, and then we see how it goes. If it works out, we push it a little bit further. If it doesn't work out, maybe we stop here, or we, you know, wait a year and push harder again. And I think that's where AI in video games is right now. Like, right now we're using it for, like, devs are using it for dumb things that are, you know, like, we look at the leaf textures in a Hot Shots golf game, and as I kind of joked when I saw it, is that, like, it's a golf game. The whole point is that you don't see the trees. Like, you're supposed to be on the green. If you're seeing the trees, you fucked up. And so that it's not, like, that is not a mission-critical part of that game, right? Like, that is a way that that dev team or that dev leadership saw that it was going to take, you know, 3 work weeks of someone's time to make all of the different 3D-modeled versions of the leaves that they can then, like, inject into a procedural-generating, like, tree tool, like Speed Tree, and kind of populate everything with those trees. And, you know, someone saw that it was going to take that long, and they said, but what if instead we used Midjourney? And then they just made, you know, 30 different iterations of leaf textures based on, you know, the huge corpus of data on what leaves look like from the internet. You made some weird bad version of a maple leaf, you inject that into your tool, or you just use that tool to make it. And now, look, you have trees. You've now saved 3 weeks of dev time or 3 weeks of art time doing that. And that feels like a very small thing, right? Like, that is a incredibly small way to test, can AI be useful in the development of a video game? And also, can the public, like the people who are buying this game, if we hide it in the smallest part of a Steam page, will they be able to stomach this usage of AI? And then, you know, that now becomes precedent. Like, that now, hey, like Hot Shots, they used it for leaf textures. And, you know, that's good. Like, we can now move forward. We've now determined that leaves are okay for AI usage, and now someone is going to test the next thing. And kind of the beautiful part of all of this is, the reason that the Jurassic Park game was in the news about their AI science portraits is that they put out a statement and said, sorry, we fucked up. We're not going to do that anymore, actually, because the test failed, right? Like, they thought that they could get away with saving money and time by using the AI tools to make portraits for, you know, I haven't seen gameplay of this game, but I imagine it is a portrait the size of a Command and Conquer general. It, you know, this is not like a big portrait, but it is, you know, it is an art asset that will take up some screen real estate. And the public said, no, thank you. I do not want that. And now they're fixing it. Like, they're pulling the AI stuff out and they're kind of going from there. And I think that it's a fascinating thing to watch happen in real time, because, you know, we're not talking about the games that don't disclose it, right? Like, there are plenty of games that don't disclose it. There are also plenty of games that are making millions of dollars because they have disclosed it and they are running specifically on being an AI game. I mean, that in the Green Gaming Show, the AI card game that just has the most soulless, lifeless art in it. Like, they are running on that being AI generated stuff, and I'm sure that that is going to make them millions with the Web3 jackoffs. But I think that we can look at the usage of AI art as a test case. Like, every single one of these that comes out is going to be a way for the industry to kind of push on what people expect and what people want. And, you know, I guess the good thing is that we're talking about gamers who are, you know, outspoken people who are not afraid to tell you what they think of a thing. And so hopefully we can kind of, as a group, push back on this and kind of say, like, gaming is one of the spaces that is not safe for AI generated stuff. Like, we, especially with Microsoft going through the third round of layoffs in 18 months, and like all of the people who are currently out of work because of this industry just being an absolute meat grinder of line go up, like, I bet it would be real easy to find you an artist who can illustrate some character portraits. And like, the funny notion of games like Neverway, which was, it's that like Cthulhu Dead God-esque farming sim, like, it ran with pixel art by the pixel artist for Celeste as like one of the first things in that trailer. Like, being able to take some of the best artists that are in this industry right now, whether they're freelance or just out of work, and say, hey, can you make 10 character portraits generally in this style, and, you know, we'll put them in the game, and, I mean, I don't know, like, do the magic card thing and just put their fucking name on it. Like, you gain so much more in goodwill. Like, I will look at your game if you are doing stuff like that. And the Jurassic Park Roller Coaster Tycoon game is a mega not for me, but like, I don't know, like, I feel like you gain a lot more in kudos for doing stuff like that, even if, you know, let's be real, it's a negligible amount of money compared to the budget of this game to make 200 character portraits. You know, like, you're talking about games that have budgets in the hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, maybe this one has like closer to like 50 to 70 million, but like, I don't know, like, paying 50 grand to some of the best artists on like the incredible high end to make cool art, like, that seems all right to me. I don't know, like, that seems like a fun way to spend some time and spend some money. But you know, who am I? I'm just a guy with a podcast. I kind of just want to hammer home this idea that each one of these is a test case. Like, every time one of these AI things pops up, it's not, it is both like a time and money saving test for these studios. And part of it is they are testing whether these tool sets will actually work for them, right? Like, I have this in my corporate day job. Like, we are constantly assessing, you know, the business is constantly assessing AI tools and seeing where you can save time and where you can save money with doing them. Whether you actually save time, money, effort, or like gain anything from it is a highly suspect. my views are my own and do not reflect those of my employer. But I think that each one of these is a test. Like, each one of them is a way to find out, is this going to work? And then also, kind of as we're seeing in the larger American government, can I get away with it? What can I get away with? How far can we push this? And I think that is going to be the part that is going to be bothersome, because we need to push back on that. Like, you need to be able to come forward and say, hey, this AI shit doesn't belong in here. And maybe, I don't know, like, wishful thinking, right? Like, the notion of an ethical AI is non-existent and doesn't make any sense. I think I heard Patrick Klepek talking about, there was one game that was using it, and it was basically a commentary on AI, and they built their own internal LLM, and like that is probably the closest we will ever get to it. But I don't know, I hope that this AI thing goes away and that like we can spend our compute power and our time and effort building systems that are like actual functional good tools that help people get the work they want to get done instead of helping them, you know, defer the work they don't want to do. Because I don't know, my usage of AI, the little tiny bit that I have dabbled in it as a corporate stooge has not been great. So I guess, keep pushing on the test cases, make sure that, you know, this stuff doesn't actually take over. I think so far we've had a pretty good run of it. So we'll, I don't know, let's try at least. But I am now here at the good old train station. So thanks for hanging out with me on this episode of Point to Point. Like I said, 70% complete is the website. It is my Blue Sky handle. It is the YouTube channel where that Fallout video is. It's doing really good numbers. And if you have not watched it, please go watch it. It's good. I like it. It came out really well. And otherwise, you know, subscribe to the show. Subscribe to the 70% Complete podcast. We've got some more good fun stuff lined up in the future. I might end up doing a thing on what Speed Tree is, because turns out people don't know what that is, and it's a really cool thing. But yeah, that's going to be the show today. I got to go catch this train. So see you later. Bye.